is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are. Tongue will confess your God. One day every year your bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess your God. One day every year your bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God.
If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable with all. The big if. There is always at least one person who would rub you the wrong way, who thinks they know everything and tells you so. Those people who keep putting off things when you're trying to get a decision from them, those who refuse to do what you want them to do, or those who do what you do not want them to do. Some people love to stir up trouble for you. Some people like to waste your time. Why should you have to put up with these difficult people? Maybe it's just the way they are and you don't have to put up with them. But have you ever thought about turning the mirror around? However, have you ever thought about how people might see you? Have you ever thought that you may be their difficult person too? Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. A welcome, too, to those who are listening online or on CD. I hope you enjoy your time listening in as well. A welcome to any visitors who are with us this morning. Following our service this morning, we do actually have, instead of just tea and coffee through in the hall, there's soup and sandwiches. So if you would like to stay for your lunch, you'd be very, very welcome. And as I went through the lobby to go to the vestry, the waft of the soup was thinking through. And as someone that's currently doing Slimming World, that was, it was making my tummy rumble a wee bit. The order of service has the intimations that you need for the coming week. I'll leave you to read most of them. Today, during the service, we will be incorporating in the business of our annual stated meeting. It's a change from the normal for you. I appreciate that when we've normally had a separate evening event to present the accounts and to do the business part of being church, but we're going to incorporate it into our worship this morning and hopefully see it as part of our worship as we look back on the last year and set ourselves up for the next. Carol's given me a little intimation here. On Easter Sunday, the children after service are going to have their annual Easter egg hunt. And so Carol's on the lookout for some Cadbury cream egg size eggs. I think that's the size that she's really needing. So if you were able to maybe buy a couple the next time you're in the supermarket and bring them along, she'll be very, very grateful. Or those chocolate lollies or the little bunnies, but just the little size things, not the big size things. That would be great. And they could be handed in either next Sunday, the following Sunday, or along at the Kirk office. We do have a baptism on Easter Sunday, so we are expecting a few extra children. So we'll need a few extra eggs and things, so that would be really very good. I'm going to leave you to read everything else that's there in your own time. A few verses from Paul's letter to Romans. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Let us worship God as we stand to sing hymn number 63 in your hymn books, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Come now to God in prayer. Loving Creator, Mother and Father of us all, Universal Parent, we gather here this day to show our love and care for you. You revealed the depth of your love by sending Jesus into the world. We delight to know him and are glad to follow him. Together, we are called to help others discover your love and guide them in the way of Jesus. Forgive us for the times when we allow our emotions and egos to get in the way of loving others as we should. Forgive us the times when we fail to create hospitality or welcome for strangers. Remind us today of how Jesus showed his love for all people and help us to follow his example. Fill us so full of love that it pours out freely from us and extends to all the people we meet. We long to see your love fill every nook and cranny of our world, to flow freely from and to all people. Help us to make it so. And hear us as we join our voices together in Jesus' prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In your order of service, it'll say something like this, a time of reflection of the year gone by. And what I'm going to do is just put a series of photographs up on the screen, and Emily's going to play a song for us as we watch the photographs. Just so it gives a little reminder of just some, and it is just some of the things that have happened in our congregation over the last year. And there's a wee note at the end just to say that this is a snapshot, and I apologise in advance if I've missed out your favourite event or the favourite activity of yours or of our church community. These were the photographs I had on my iPad and I got from the Facebook page, so I know there'll be other memories that people have. But it's great once a year just to take that opportunity to think back. And one of the delights for me as I was doing this is, of course, to remind myself that I've now completed a whole year with you. And so we've been through all the occasions, the high points, and some of the lower points of being a congregation together. And I hope this just gives you a little flavour of some of the things that we've done over the last year. And yeah, so let's just have a look back. That song that Emily was playing is 10,000 Reasons, which we sang earlier in the year. And I think, you know, if we added up all our reasons to be glad to be here, maybe between us all, we might have 10,000. I hope you enjoyed just that short reflection on the last year. And as I said, it doesn't capture everything that's happened, but maybe a snapshot of a huge amount of work and energy and just enjoyment that we all get from being part of our congregation. So in there, there's a thank you, and there is a sincere thank you from me as your minister for everything that goes on, so much of which I don't even have to think about, which is a real treat. But I know there's just many, many people putting many, many hours and lots of energy into ensuring that we are a great community, a great family of faith here in Cults. We're going to sing again, and Adam and Emily are going to lead us in a hymn called Come People of the Risen King. The words will go up on the screen. You do have them inside there, so please feel free to join in, but maybe stay seated as we let Emily and Adam lead us. Thank you.
Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring Him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, when we lift our eyes to Him, when steady arms of mercy reach to the gathered children bees. Rejoice, rejoice, let every child rejoice, one heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those who joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never change, and His mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of the grace. Over all the world His people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, for our God is on and on. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice.
The first reading this morning is taken from St. John's Gospel, chapter 4, not chapter 5, as in your order of service. Sorry, my mistake. Reading from verse 46. Let's listen for the word of God. Then Jesus went back to Cana in Galilee, where He had turned the water into wine. A government official was there whose son was ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to go to Capernaum to heal his son who was about to die. Jesus said unto him, "None of you will ever believe unless you see miracles and wonders." "Sir," replied the official, "come with me before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed Jesus' word and went. On his way home, his servants met him with the news, "Your boy is going to live." He asked them what time it was when his son got better, and they answered, "It was 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon when the fever left him." Then the father remembered that it was at that very hour when Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." So he and all his family believed. This was the second miracle that Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. The second reading is from Romans, chapter 12, reading from verse 9. Love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil, hold on to what is good. Love one another warmly as Christian brothers, and be eager to show respect for one another. Work hard and do not be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Let your heart keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. Share your belongings with your needy fellow Christians and open your homes to strangers. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Yes, ask Him to bless, not curse. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Have the same concern for everyone. Do not be proud, but accept humble duties. Do not think of yourself as wise. If someone has done you wrong, do not repay him with a wrong. Try to do what everyone considers to be good. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. Never take revenge, my friends, but instead let God's anger do it. For the scripture says, "I will take revenge, I will pay back," says the Lord. Instead, as the scripture says, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing this, you will make him burn with shame. Do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good." Thanks be to God for this reading.
Thank you, Anne, for those readings. We stand to sing our next hymn, which is 531, "My Jesus, My Saviour."
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, power of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
"Oh, minister, I'm so exhausted," exclaimed Mitchell Mouse to me in church this week. "Oh, Mitchell, are you coming down with mouse flu or something?" I asked him. "No, minister, I'm as strong as a mouse can be," he replied. "So why are you so exhausted?" "Well," said Mitchell, "it's all to do with the Bible and that man you call Paul." "What do you mean?" "He told folk to be eager and showing respect, and I've been eager all week, and I am exhausted," said Mitchell. "Mitchell, I don't think Paul meant it to become a competition." "Well, minister," he said, "we have to be eager and work hard and not be lazy. That's Romans 12, verses 10 and 11. "So what things have you been doing that's got you so exhausted?" "Well, where do I begin? I've tried to be practical. I've swept up all the crumbs left in church and gathered the sweets that rolled away into the corner, which my family will no doubt eat. I gave some of the food to the field mice who live outside because they looked so hungry. I've been nice to members of my family and my neighbours. I've been respectful toward all the older mice. I've tried to love my children and not get annoyed with them. I've tried to care for some of the other creatures who live in and around the church, even though they are not like me." "Well, Mitchell, it's no wonder you're quite exhausted doing all these things," I said. "Instead of trying to do everything all at once, why not do one thing at a time and make the best job of that that you can? That way you will indeed show honour to God." "Och, minister, you're being sensible," replied Mitchell. Mitchell, God wants us to care for other people, love other people, but he also wants us to love ourselves. If we end up exhausted because we try too hard, then we end up being no use to anyone. Paul, writing to the church, was encouraging everyone to play their part and to do their best to care for the people around them, so that God's name would be known by the love that his followers demonstrated to family, friends, and strangers. So we just try and do what we can. Absolutely, Mitchell. Just try and be a real friend to others. I will, minister, he said, and he danced away down the aisle to the back of the church and hid in the corner. Paul's letter to the Romans can leave us all feeling exhausted, and that's just before we've begun to follow through on his instructions. It is a long list of ways to love. Be completely sincere when you love. Hate evil, hold on to all that is good. Love everyone, work hard, keep hopeful and be joyful. Be patient, pray at all times. Share what you have, welcome strangers. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Care for everyone. Do not be proud. Do not think yourself wise. Repay wrong with good. Live at peace with everyone. Never take revenge. Instead, feed your enemy. Give them water. Crikey, that is a long list. And no wonder Mitchell Mouse was exhausted trying to do it all. This week, we're exploring yet another kind of love. And this love is known as storge, spelled S-T-O-R-G-E. Familial love. Loving as brothers and sisters. The idea of being brothers and sisters together is a much used phrase in church circles. And the context of this passage is that Paul has confronted the early Roman church with the idea of seeing themselves as the body of Christ. Put aside conflict, boasting, trying to compare oneself against the other. These are not signs of the kingdom. To be the body of Christ, you need to be more than an individual pursuing right living or keep to a set of rules. The sign of the church is the love that we have between us. Amy Lindemann Allen explains in her writing in Paul's letter, although Roman Christians would later face fierce persecutions at the hands of Emperor Nero, Paul's letter to the Romans was written before this fate. As a result, the evil he is addressing is not of an outside force seeking to defeat the Christians, but rather of the subtler, though perhaps just as dangerous, pressure of their own neighbours, family, and friends. The suffering that Paul addresses is a suffering caused by the experience of Roman Christians finding themselves on the outside of their social circles due to their new religious beliefs that forbid the worship of idols. Family members, co-workers, and neighbours who have not converted to Christianity did not understand and did not approve of the new behaviours of their Christian counterparts who refused to attend public events, many of which were deeply integrated into the sort of idol worship that they took part in. This experience of their neighbours and families not understanding where Christians are coming from in relation to public discourse and current events seems to be something we've never escaped, she goes on. While the issue today may not so clearly be idol worship, Christians who seek to follow the command to love, for instance, often find themselves on the other side of their families, co-workers, and friends when it comes to current social and political issues. Amy is right. In many ways, as Christians, we stand counter to the culture that we live in, and Paul's instruction in his letter flies in the face of the way the world seems to work. And yet, what the world needs now is love. Sweet love, the refrain from the last few weeks. Words from a cheesy song that speak right into where we are as a world. We need love, and love that sees each of us as family, brothers and sisters in Christ, of Christ, for Christ. Today is Mothering Sunday, A day like many other Christian events that's been hijacked by the card, chocolate, flour, and the latest edition gin industries. Mothering Sunday, in days long gone by, was the Sunday when sons and daughters working in service would get a Sunday off to mark the midpoint of Lent, and they would return home, visiting their family homes and, of course, their mothers, but also returning to their mother church. The mother church would be the nearest cathedral or large church, each of which had smaller daughter churches connected to it. And it was a mostly English Anglican thing. This developed to what we have now as a day when mothers are the focus and the church less so. But it does illustrate how the language we use around the church has often a familial ring to it. We brothers and sisters together in the church, the mothering place. And so there is some, in some sense, in choosing today for our day to look back over the last year and to do the business required of an annual stated meeting. I don't like to make a huge fuss of Mothering Sunday in church because I know that sadly the experience some have as mothers or of mothers or the desire to be a mother is not always positive and that today can be a painful day for many. For those who can and want to celebrate, there's enough time later in the day for that. Families can be complicated. Even in the most loving of families, life can be complicated. Today, for example, I've had to turn down having a meal with my children because as a child, I am pulled to go and visit my mother and my mother-in-law. And I guess I'm not the only person here facing that kind of dilemma. I am both a mother and a child. And how lucky I am to be in that position. If we see church as family, then it can help us understand that that isn't always going to be easy. There is bound to be tension from time to time when people are being pulled in different directions. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, is trying to address this and helpfully lays out a way of living that should reduce these tensions and help us live in familial unity and in love, even with those we may not always agree with. I have been with you now for 14 months, and I'm still blown away by the way everyone works together to achieve all that goes on around this church. Being church takes a huge amount of organising, and it also takes a huge amount of love. And I sense that love. Love for your church, love for your parish, love for those who are part of our church community, and love for those we share the parish with, and love for those much further afield. And this is evidenced by what we do. The reflection earlier picked up on just a small part of this. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, opens with a welcome and introduction and then a prayer of thanksgiving. First he writes, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the whole world is hearing about your faith." The whole world is hearing about your faith. What a wonderful witness they were being. What a wonderful witness we are being too. But I wonder if we could improve on how we let people know about everything that we do. Just one of the tasks for our new communications group to take up. I want to finish with a reflection written by one of the writing group that I'm part of that puts together some worship resources called Spill the Beans. It lays out a way of approaching life based on the words of Paul to the Romans that we heard earlier, and I hope they're helpful. Be loving in your nature. No bitching about other people. No telling lies to make you look good, no foul words or derogatory remarks towards those who are different from you. Be patient, understanding, and kind to folk, so that in all that you do for them, you demonstrate a warmth and affection that makes them feel safe in your presence. Don't stay silent when people are doing bad things. Speak up when people are hurting or cheating others. Defend those who are defenseless. Accept those whose language, culture, and beliefs are different from our own, and don't resort to violence or war to prove a point that you are bigger or stronger than them. Be positive in all your actions. Reveal what you believe by feeding those who are hungry, healing those who are sick, speaking up for those who have no voice. Learn to stand in other people's shoes before you say something you might regret. Be enthusiastic for the things of God and make your religion fun and not a chore to be got through. Don't get bogged down in always trying to be right, but just do your best to live as Christ lived each day. There may be times when the world turns against you, when your partner walks away from you, or you're made redundant from your work, or are accused of doing something wrong when you haven't. Perhaps you have lost loved ones that matter to you, and God seems to have forsaken and forgotten you until your heart aches and you feel overwhelmed by grief or anger. These times come to us all, testing times, trying times, lonely times. In these moments of darkness, accept the help of others with good grace. Don't feel that you have to bear this on your own, or that you are the only one this has ever happened to. For Jesus himself was forsaken and abandoned and suffered, but still managed to remain gracious and focused on God. To know that life was complex and full when God is trusted with all our hearts and minds and souls. Stand up for God and what you believe. Share laughter with your friends and enemies. Shed tears with those who get upset. And don't try to be stoic and distort what some think is manly. Express your emotions honestly. Avoid bottling things up until you make yourself ill. Try not to hold grudges against others or plot ways to get your own back on all those that may have hurt you, but seek the path of peace and reconciliation. Do something that makes a difference rather than causes people pain. For in the long run, you seek to build a better world rather than tearing an old one down. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Amen. We continue our worship, this time in our offering.
Yes, we have.
Holy One, kind and generous, compassionate and caring to all your children, receive our gifts today. Take our offerings to be used wherever they are needed most. May they feed the hungry, give shelter to the homeless, bring comfort to the suffering. Amen. We sing again, and this time our hymn is 502 in your hymn books. Take my life, Lord, let it be. To that part in our service where I'm going to invite Bruce to come as treasurer of the church to present to you the accounts for the year 2018. The accounts were approved by the board and Kirk Session earlier in the week, and it's now our duty to present them to you, and Bruce is going to do that and talk us through them. Do you want me to do the dither? Yes.
Good morning. For those that are listening online, I'll try and highlight the main points in our 2018 accounts. As I said, we're going to look back a bit, but we're also going to look forward a bit to the 2019 budget. Hopefully on the first slide we've got our incomes, and those tell us that in 2018 our income of 240,000 or thereabouts was almost exactly in line with the 2018 budget. It doesn't always work out that way, but just so happened that was the case this year. We didn't have any legacies this year. We've got a legacy that we received in early 2019, and that appears in our 2019 budget. So our 2019 budget income is 245,000, an increase of 5 from 2018. Most of the income is in line with expectations. We were enjoying a strong usage of our facilities, and we're hoping that in 2019 our hall rental income will increase to about £60,000. So that's the story so much for our income. If we turn on to our expenditures, in 2018 we had total expenditure of £236,000, and that was well below budget, I think mainly due to the shortfall of spend on our extraordinary property refurbishment, which if you look at 2019, you can see we've got a fairly heavy programme, including a roof repair scheduled for 2019. So that with total expenditure of £236,000 in 2018 and income of £240,000, we have a modest surplus of £4,000. However, that modest surplus for the church only is then added to with the increases in our what they call the restricted funds. That was a receipt of £38,199 from Aberdeen City Council for their developers' contributions, which we have qualified for a receipt of those monies, which can only be spent for capital activities. We also had an annual award from the Church of Scotland to employ our youth work team. So that offsets the cost of youth workers' salaries. And that does help give us an increase in our income this year. The time you add the youth funds together with the restricted funds, we were then showing an increase in net funds of £53,000. So when you look down, slightly further down at the balance sheet, which will be coming up shortly, the balance sheet then reflects that increase. And when I grab a copy of the balance sheet, we're now up to somewhere just over £474,000, made up of fixed assets, debtors, bank and cash creditors, and of course our organisations. They should not be forgotten in this presentation, because we have a very healthy activity with the O5O group, the Hub Cafe, and all of the other organisations which contribute in terms of income some over £70,000, and there is an offset of almost equal and opposite, so that we are actually only reflecting just a modest increase or decrease of £157 in the balance which is held by our organisations. So it's come down from 63,168 to 63,011, and that's part of the total that is held by the church when we report our accounts to 121 and post them on to the charities regulator. We have to disclose and include all of our church organisations as well. So it's the total amount of £474,490 that is reflected in our balance sheet. And in terms of where those monies are attributed to, we have what they call funds, and the funds are allocated into various headings. General funds of in 2018 £250,614. We have a 100,000 held in a designated fabric fund, 14,226 held in for designated youth work, which goes to offset the salaries of our youth workers. And then two smaller funds, not to be forgotten, the Restricted Grant Family Fund of 3,318 and the Endowment Fund, the Maggie and Sydney Reid Bequest of 1,601. So in total, the church funds are £411,479, to which we add our organisations to give the grand total which is the same as our balance sheet of $474,490. Looking to 2019, as I said, this is a snapshot of and an extract from our full set of accounts. I thought you would rather have your Mothering Day lunch rather than hear the full 18-page analysis, which is presented and has to be registered with the charities regulator after we get approval from Presbytery. So on your behalf, Graham Robertson and myself signed the accounts, and our independent examiner signed shortly thereafter on Friday, and they were posted almost by return down to Edinburgh and off to Presbytery. So those have now been lodged. The 2019 budget is our look ahead as to where we think we will be this time next year. And 2019 budget, as I said, we had a total income of $245,000. We have an extraordinary property refurbishment programme of $26,000, which gives a total expenditure for 2019 of $266,824. And so we're reckoning that we will be slightly in deficit next year of $21,824. However, we have, and I can reassure you, we have healthy funds in our general reserves which are able to meet this shortfall from 2019. In total, when you include reserves movements, we're reckoning there'll be a slight reduction, another reduction in our funds of 26,824. When you look at the balance sheet, we're reckoning by this time next year we would have £447,666 in our net assets, and again, that would be represented by our funds which we hold on the various headings, general, designated, youth, fabric, etc., of the equivalent amount of £447,666. So that's where we think we will be in a year's time if the crystal ball works. I'm pretty sure it won't be exactly like that, but we're already a quarter down, which is a bit scary. I encourage everybody to be active, do all the things you would want to do, and we will see where we get to in a year's time. Essentially, a couple of highlights just to say, in our ministries and mission allocation, we are now the highest kirk in Aberdeen, the Aberdeen Presbytery makes the biggest contribution. I guess that is a reflection of our average income over the last 3 years, and each church is allocated according to its means, so they're expecting great things in 1-2-1 from Cults Parish Church. I mean, I'm not sure where to start or where to finish with my thank yous, but I'll try and be brief. We've got our superb clubs, organisations, our Hub Cafe team, our O5O group, our dedicated members, volunteers, supporters and staff who continue to give generously of their time, talents and monies. And of course, those with the financial leaning have been busy with their year-end accounts since the end of December into January and February. We've had our own Ian Logan examine the church organisation and clubs accounts. They always turn out just fine in the end. And of course, we have our independent examiner who will be thanked separately. Fortunately, Alan is with us today, and it's very great to see him back in church again after his recent mishap. So that is just about it. I mean, in summary, as they keep saying, the budgets, the church is in great heart. We're in a strong financial position to deliver on the promises we make and continue to make in our development plans. So I can only say thank you very much for all your support and activity in 2018, and look forward to the same contributions in 2019. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. Bruce has been very kind in thanking everyone for their contribution to the financial situation we're in, but we have to, I think, owe a great deal of thanks to Bruce for the way he is scrupulous in the way he looks after our finances, aided, of course, by our finance committee, and we're indebted to you for all the work that you do. Also, it's me that gets to say, oh yes, we'll do that again. Bruce is very conscious that he can't be seen to thank the independent examiner for due diligence and all of that. So I get to thank Alan for all that you do to help us with our accounts. And so thank you for your contribution to that as well. I think we can give him a big clap. The other part of business that we need to look at during our annual stated meeting is the makeup of our congregational board. And a congregational board is made up of a mix of members of the congregation and members of the Kirk session. And there's a number of folk who are due to be possibly re-elected, but we also have a vacancy. But Pete, as clerk to the board, can maybe come and say a wee bit about that.
Well, good morning. As Shuna said, the board is made up, the board looks after finance and property basically, and the board is made up of two distinct cohorts, one in roughly equal parts. One are the elders who are appointed by the Kirk session, and the second cohorts are elected members from the wider congregation. So don't all put your heads down at the moment. That we've got four vacancies for the congregational board from the congregational members. Three members who are retiring, we retire every 3 years, three members who are retiring have agreed to stand, and I'm very grateful for that. They're Jenny McAllister Hall, Alan Johnson, and Chris Richardson. And I'd like to propose them for standing for re-election. There is one other vacancy also, but in addition to that, we're quite happy to take proposals from the floor, and you can propose yourself, I think, if anyone would like to stand for election.
Any volunteers for that?
Nobody immediate? Okay. We have the ability at other times to appoint out with the ASN. So in that case, can I formally propose Jenny, Alan, and Chris, with your approval, and if you do approve that, can I have a seconder to that proposal, please? Yeah, thank you.
Hands in the air.
Thank you. We would like, well, either a show of hands to agree to these elections or a concerted nods of the head, I think would suffice.
To the head.
Right. Can I take that to be unanimous then? Is there anybody who opposes that? No. Good. Well, Jenny and Chris and Alan are duly appointed for another 3 years spell on the congregational board. So thank you. I think that's all the business. The only other thing I would say, there's two sederant sheets floating around somewhere. I'm not sure where they are. Okay. Probably I'll bring them forward to the front of the church at the end of the service, and anyone who hasn't signed it, I'd be grateful if you could do so, please. They'll be up here at the end of the service. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Pete. Thank you. I have to say, as a minister, I am delighted to work alongside Pete and Graham as they head up the Kirk session and the congregational board and all the office bearers within this church. You make my life so much easier by the diligence that you put into your roles. I want to turn now to God with our prayer for Mothering Sunday. Let us pray. Loving Creator, we gather this Mothering Sunday as your church family, looking back on a year gone by and looking forward to what comes next. Today is indeed Mothering Sunday, and we take this time to think about all the women in our lives. We're grateful for all the women who have been part of our lives in one way or another. We thank you for their strength and courage, their grace and integrity, their kindness and generosity, their desire to nurture and their ability to take risks. We thank you for mothers and grandmothers, for sisters and aunties, for cousins and second cousins, for all the women we love and who love us in return. We thank you for all the women who use their gifts to enter debates on science and religion, civil engineering and space travel. We thank you for all the women who stand up for the women who have no voice. We thank you for all the women who go the extra mile and carry the weak and broken with them. We thank you for all the women who reveal more of you through their lives. And we pray for a world that sees women as equal to men, treats women respectfully, and allows women to be who they are made to be. Lord, we pray, take this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn 198, a really great hymn to finish the service with. Let us build a house where love can dwell. 198, sorry. goes with the blessing, just a reminder that there is soup and sandwiches through in the hall, and you are all very welcome to stay and join us for that. I send you on your way with these words: with such love may we serve the world and serve it kindly. With such love may we serve each other and serve each other generously. With such love may we serve God and serve God faithfully. With such love, from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go from here and serve always.